Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila chapter 8, text 300. And just if you glance at the text, anyone can tell me why we're doing this text, because it's not in order, but it's from the same chapter we're normally doing. What's special about today? Here's from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati opposed employing the word Jayanti for birthdays of eminent national figures, for according to several Shastriya references given in chapter 15 of Hari Bhakti Vilas, Jayanti indicates the specific time when the star Rohini is conjoined with the moon in the Krishna Paksha Ashtami. Remember the word Ashtami. Today is not Ashtami, it's Purnima. Of the month Bhadra, and thus exclusively refers to the Avyarbhav Tithi of Krishna. However, Gaura being non-different from the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also approved and employed the term Gaura Jayanti for the Avyarbhav Tithi of Gaura. So that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Gaura Jayanti and Krishna Jayanti were the only 2 days that he used the term. Here's Prabhupada purport, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 12. The most auspicious constellation of stars takes place during the appearance of the Lord in this material world, and it is specifically called Jayanti, a word not to be abused for any other purposes. And also from the first canto, chapter 9, text 45, purport, the respect and recognition of Bhishma Dev are never to be imitated by artificial means, as it has become a fashion to observe the so-called Jayanti ceremony for any and every common man. According to an authorized Shastra, such a Jayanti ceremony for an ordinary man, however exalted he may be materially, is an offence to the Lord, because Jayanti is reserved for the day when the Lord appears on the earth. So that's something things to consider. And also in a conversation, Prabhupada said, it is just not Shastric to use the term Jayanti in other ways. So Hanuman, he's the devotee of the Lord, so I don't use the term Hanuman Jayanti, although it seems to be common. Haribol, anyone to any thoughts on that? Does it matter? Okay, Jayanti means the constellation is a specific time of Krishna's birth, which is the Ashtami in the Krishna Paksha in the month of Bhadra. That's all it means. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, he decided we will use the same term, presumably to emphasize the point that Gaura and Krishna are the same. So this is the appearance day of Hanuman, so I'm going to say some words in glorification of Hanuman. There are so many special reasons for today. This is Balaram Rasa Yatra. That's when Balaram, he dances with his gopis. Krishna Vasant Rasa. There are two rasa dances that Krishna performs. One is in spring, the Vasant Rasa Yatra. Then there's the Sharadiya Rasa Yatra in autumn. That's the on Sharat Purnim. It is also the appearance day of Vamshivadana Thakur. And it's said that he is actually an incarnation of Krishna's flute, as indicated by the word Vamshi. And he was a very exalted poet, obviously being the incarnation of Krishna's flute. His poetry was par excellence. It is the appearance day of Shamananda Prabhu. And hopefully I'll say something about Shamananda Prabhu. Remember that Shamananda Prabhu, Narottam, and Srinivas, the three major preachers that came after that spread the Krishna consciousness, especially throughout Bengal. It is the 18th year anniversary of the installation of Brinda Devi at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Haribo! So if you notice today, Brinda Devi is on the altar. So yes, what a day. It's amazing, I was looking at the Vaishnav calendar. And if you just take the Vaishnav calendar and then you start researching all the different days, you can become very educated on Vaishnavism, because there's so many days to celebrate. We're very fortunate every day. It's almost like there's one or two things almost every day. So let us read. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Please repeat. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple, where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. In almost all the cities and towns of India, there are temples of Hanumanji, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. There is even a temple of Hanuman near Govindaji Temple in Vrindavan. Formerly, this temple was in front of the Gopalji Temple, but the Gopalji deity went to Orissa to remain as Sakshi Gopal. Being the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra, Hanumanji has been respectfully worshipped for many hundreds and thousands of years. Here even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example in showing how one should offer respects to Hanumanji. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam Bande Hang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitang Stang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Apta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Haribo. It's nice to be back at Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was away in Edinburgh for 1 week. And because of COVID, they didn't celebrate the festival at Krunabhavan. But they had a little program in Edinburgh, and they asked me to give a little short class, so I did. And I spoke a little bit about Lord Ramachandra and Lord Hanuman. And then about the next day later, I was asked, could you give class on the appearance day of Hanuman? So I'm thinking maybe I said something that Hanuman appreciated. I don't know. But anyway, I feel very privileged and very unqualified. There's so many exalted devotees around. And we have Srinivas Prabhu here. He always has some very good Shastric references, so I'm hoping he will back me up when I come unstuck. Haribo. It's interesting that in the Ramayana, the section that deals mainly with Hanuman is known as Sundara Kand. This is all about Hanuman's search for Sita and his discussion with Sita, setting fire to Lanka, etc. So that's known as Sundara Kand. And the reason is, Valmiki explains, because Hanuman is Sundara. He's very, very beautiful. Now, I always had this conception. I never considered Hanuman's beauty. I just considered awe and reverence. He's, you know, he's very exalted servant of Lord Ramachandra. And many years ago, Garuda Prabhu, the scholar, Prabhupada disciple, he was here and he was talking and he said, "And you have such a wonderful, cute Hanuman deity here." And he was, and I was thinking, that's an unusual way to describe Hanuman, cute. And I looked and I thought, but actually he's right. The Hanuman is just a nice size. He's very cute. I remember him. So anyway, we can have different relationships with Hanuman, you know. So for Garuda Prabhu, he was kind of taking that mood, you know. Actually, Hanuman's relationship with Lord Ramachandra is in which rasa? Anyone know? Dasya, yes. So there's the famous, you know, this famous verse. It's Vyasaki Shravani. No, it's Parikshit Shravani, Vyasaki Kirtani, Prahlad Smarani. And it's Kapipati Dasya. So this is saying, when Parikshit Maharaj, he's an example of devotional service in hearing because he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vyasaki, which means Sukadeva Goswami, his main service, his main anga was kirtan because he's reciting the Bhagavatam. Prahlad, it's remembering. For Hanuman, he's known as Kapipati, which means the lord of the monkeys. Dasya, he's the exemplar of Dasya Ras, his service attitude towards Lord Ramachandra. Now, if you've noticed, you go to India, you'll often find a sort of bright orange, reddish orange deity of Hanuman. So why? Something you see it on walls as well. Very popular. You'll see it in Vrindavan. So this is Hanuman covered in sindoor. So why is that? It's because once he saw Sita put sindoor on herself, and he asked why, and she said, "This is to show my love and devotion for Lord Ram." So Hanuman decided, "I will do the same." So he covered his entire body with it. That is why we have this very reddish Hanuman. It's very common in India. We see that. You like that?
Yeah, I love it.
Good. I liked it too. That's why I said it. Actually, I'm very ignorant. I didn't actually know the reason. I Googled it before I gave class. So there you go. That's how I learn. I just have to. When you're on the class, you have to like be on the spot. So you have to find out something relevant to say, right? So anyway, Hanuman, he's been given this benediction. He's a Chiranjeev, which means he lives forever. And there's an interesting pastime that's described in the Mahabharata of how Bhima met Hanuman. Now, what's the connection between Bhima and Hanuman? Hanuman is known as Vayuputra, which means he's the son of the wind god. Bhima, he's also the son of the wind god. Because remember that Kunti Devi, she had this benediction, she could call various demigods with mantras. So when Pandu was cursed, could not have children. So she then used the mantra to call various demigods, and she had children through these various demigods. So when she called Vayu impregnated her and she gave birth to Bhima. And from Indra it was Arjuna. From Dharmaraj it was Yudhisthira. Then through Madri, Ashwini Kumaras, Sahadeva and Nakula. So both Bhima and Hanuman are the son of Vayu. So Hanuman is also said to be the son of Kesari. So how do we reconcile that? Kesari is the husband of Anjana, and the wind god decided with his mystic power to create a child through Anjana. So although Anjana is married to Kesari. So he's also known as Kesari Putra or Kesari Sutta. So anyway, because he's Chiranjeev, he's there when the Mahabharata's going on. So when the Pandavas are they're going on expeditions trying to find celestial weapons, etc., Bhima comes across Hanuman. He doesn't know he's Hanuman. He just sees this monkey blocking the road. And Bhima's very proud and he's very strong. So he says to the monkey, "Hey monkey, move aside, I'm coming." The monkey said, "I am very old, I cannot move." Bhima's like, "You move," because as a matter of etiquette, he didn't want to step over the monkey. The monkey said, "Look, I don't want to move, but you just move my tail." So then Bhima decides, this monkey is very arrogant, I'm going to spin him around by the tail and kill him. So he tried to move the tail, and he couldn't move Hanuman's tail. Trying harder and harder, he's sweating. Finally, he's humiliated, and he asks the monkey, "Who are you?" Of course, the monkey explains how he's Hanuman. Bhima's like overjoyed because that's his brother. And he pleads, show me the gigantic form you took when you jumped to Lanka. And Hanuman said, no, I'm not showing you that, because that form was for a different age. And then he explains the different ages to Bhima, but Bhima persists, please show me that form. So Hanuman is very agreeable. He shows the amazing form, and he says, this form can expand forever. And Bhima was very satisfied. So that's a little pastime between Bhima and Hanuman, because Hanuman's Chiranjeev, and he was given that benediction by Lord Ram. Now, we mentioned how Hanuman is in Dasyaras. There's one time where Hanuman becomes more intimate, and he actually embraces, Lord Ramachandra becomes more intimate, and he embraces Hanuman. And that's when Hanuman finds Sita, and through Hanuman, they are able to, retrieve Sita. So out of gratitude, he offers a benediction to Hanuman, and that benediction is that he would be Chiranjeev, so that he could always hear Ram Katha. See, Hanuman is, there's two particular qualities of Hanuman. He's wonderful at speaking Ram Katha. So if you want to understand Ram Katha, go through Hanuman. And he is always present when Ram Katha is spoken. Ram Katha, someone's looking puzzled. What is Ram Katha? Ram Katha means the discussion of the pastimes of Lord Ram. Generally in ISKCON, we're mainly talking of Krishna Katha. But Ram Katha, the discussions of Lord Ram. So I said, Naham Tishtami Vaikunti Yoginam Ridayeshuva. Yatra Ganti Madbhakta Tatra Tishtami Narada. Krishna tells Narad, wherever my devotees are chanting my glories, I am present. So if we chant the Ramayana, we recite the Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra is present, and Hanuman's present, because he wants to always hear this nectarian Ram Katha. And just as if we want to understand Vrindavan, the mood of Vrindavan, then who do we go to? We go to Uddhava, especially. Uddhava Bodhisattva. He's the most intelligent. He's been given empowerment by Krishna to explain the Vrindavan rasas. In the same way, Hanuman is that empowerment, that we want to understand Ramayana, we go through Hanuman, you see. Now, this is interesting that we're discussing Hanuman in the chapter about Lord Chaitanya's pastime with Ramananda Roy, because Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, they discuss very, very high tattva, the very high tattva of the love of the gopis for Krishna in all its various manifestations, the various pastimes, etc. It's a very exalted chapter. But what we notice is, before this discussion, at the beginning of the chapter, Lord Chaitanya visits the Jiyadana Singha temple, and he's in ecstasy. He goes into prema ecstasy, seeing the deity. And after the conversation, which is this verse 300, I like not to complicate things, so I thought it's good that we don't have to find another book. We can just use the same book we're normally using to get the Hanuman verse, because I had a choice which verse to use. But after that conversation, then he's offering his obeisances in the Hanumanji temple, you see. So it illustrates how Lord Chaitanya, he is showing by example and by mood the various rasas, he's showing the various relationships to the Lord and through his devotees, through worship. And this is something that is very much the early life of Lord Chaitanya. Towards the Anchalila, that is when the Lord goes to the Gambira. That's even more confidential. And that's when he's exclusively fixed on Radha Bhav. Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. He is Krishna whose mood is the mood of Radharani. So it's explained that he particularly chose Jagannath Puri because this is the place, it's known as Vitpralamba Kshetra, the place where he can enter into the mood of separation in the way of Radharani, which he couldn't do in Navadvip, because in Navadvip he has his friends, he has his parents, so his rasas are splayed. He has many rasas, there's many devotees. And he couldn't do it in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan, because he's Krishna, he starts turning into Krishna. It's actually explained, Lord Chaitanya started turning blue when he went to Vrindavan. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Hanumanji ki jai. Shri Vrindadevi ki jai. So we see Vrindadevi next to Gornitai. I had the good fortune, I asked Leelavati, who's the pujari, who's the servant of Tulsi Maharani, Vrindadevi, about the appearance day of Vrindadevi. And she sent me a Bhaktivedanta Manor newsletter article, 18 years old, and how Bhakti Vigyana Swami and Radhana Swami were present when Vrinda Devi was installed. So that's, and if you look at the article, you've got Aniruddha. Remember our Pujari Aniruddha? He was like, people are so much younger than those days. And I can't believe it's 18 years. That was, and that coincided with the building of the greenhouses. So time flies. So there's Vrinda Devi. So, I mean, recently I had the good fortune to be trained up as a Pujari at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So Nantagopal Prabhu, he said, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement. I want someone to edit the manual. There's a manual for deity worship. We want everything to be standardized. We want to know all the right mantras, all the right procedures, so it's easy for people to learn their service and to use the right mantras. So I went through this manual and I was correcting a few little typos. And then I came to an interesting section where it was the worship of Vrinda Devi. Now, the procedure was, you know, I was doing the afternoon worship of Vrinda Devi. There's also the morning worship of Vrinda Devi after they offer food. It's roughly 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish. So we go down to the greenhouse and then we're offering aarti to Vrinda Devi. So I questioned, I said, what I find interesting is we have mantras for Vrinda Devi, Om Vrindayai Namaha. That's how you offer obeisances to Vrinda. So, but when we do our worship, according to the manual, we say Om Tulasyai Namaha. We're offering obeisances to Tulsi. So I'm wondering, why is that? Is that correct or not? And then they got back to me. They said, you know why that is? Because originally we worshipped Vrinda Devi and Tulsi Maharani at the same time, and we used the Tulsi mantra. I said, but now we've slightly changed because Vrinda Devi's by herself. So now we're going to go back. We're going to keep using the Tulsi mantra, but we're going to go back to worshipping the Tulsi plant. So now, I think, unless they've changed it back again, haven't done it for several months, but from that point onwards, instead of offering aarti to Vrinda Devi deity, we offer the aarti to some of the Tulsi plants in the greenhouse. So if anyone's wondering, I don't know if it's still like that, if why it's changed, that's why it's changed. But it's not really a change because Vrinda Devi and Tulsi Maharani are the same personality. So Prabhupada says, Vrindavan means, Vrinda is another name for Tulsi, and Van means forest. So Vrindavan means Tulsi forest, you see. So Vrinda Devi, Tulsi Maharani, we say the same, they are interchangeable. Hare Krishna. Shrimati Tulsi Maharani, Vrinda Devi Ki Jai. So where was I? Yeah, I was discussing how Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Vrindavan, the mood of Vrindavan started affecting him, so he couldn't fully be in the mood of Radharani. So that's why he goes to the Gambira and he completes his pastime fully absorbed in the mood of Radharani. I mean, I learned all this from Madhavananda Prabhu, who's lived in Jagannath Puri, so he likes to glorify Jagannath Puri, as you know. And so I researched it, because he said before Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, his bhavs were mixed. He was having moods towards certain devotees. So I did a bit of research and I was looking at the various moods, because sometimes Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Balaram, sometimes he's in the mood of the monkeys. There's actually a pastime in the 15th chapter of Majjalila on Vijay Dasami, which is the victory day in Lanka when Ravana was defeated. Lord Chaitanya and associates took the mood of monkey warriors. So they're playing this pastime. And Lakshman, who is, of course, Nityananda. So when he's Nityananda, when he's growing up, he used to play the Ramayana with his friends, and he would play the part of Lakshman. So then he would pretend to be dead. Nityananda would pretend to be dead. And they'd come and they'd take the herb. Of course, remember, Hanuman took the whole mountain. It's his famous pastime, right? And they took the herb and then Lakshman. Nityananda was so good at this at playing the role of Lakshman that they actually thought, he's actually died. And Nityananda, he's not moving. And they actually thought, what's happened to him? His life years have left him or something. But it was just his brilliant acting. So Nityananda, he was sometimes taking the mood of Lakshman. So Lord Chaitanya, he's sometimes in the mood of Varaha Dev. He's sometimes in the mood of Shiva, Durga. So many different moods. But I noticed that they were all in the past times before he went to Jagannath Puri. And then it was just Radharani's mood, you see. So that's the maybe esoteric consideration there, that although Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting many moods, ultimately he's exhibiting one mood, love for Radharani. So we see this, and also, you know, there's a pastime, Revati Nandana Prabhu, he once said to Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you have given us the process of worshipping Krishna, but my understanding is that maybe some people have bhav for other devotees, other forms of the Lord. They may be, you know, devotee of Ramachandra or Narayan or something. And then he said, are we to understand that if they just follow the path that you've given, then their attraction for their particular Ishtadev will awaken, and that therefore they just need to follow the process that is universal? And Prabhupada smiled and said, yes, that is the process. You see? So if you want to develop your love for Ramachandra, if you follow the process Prabhupada gives, then you're perfect, perfect process. One time someone in India, he criticized Prabhupada, and he said, you know, where is Lord Ram? You know, because he's International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Where is Lord Ram? And Prabhupada said, you hear, you know, it's in the Mahamantra. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Why are you not hearing? You know, you see through the ears, right? There's a verse in the third canto, Lord Brahma. Now, how did Brahma become enlightened? Tena Brahma Hrida Yadi Kavaye, through the heart, right? He didn't see. He saw it, actually it was revealed within the heart. He went in trance, but it was a revelation from within the heart. So he says, Tom Bhakti Yoga Paribhavata Rit Saroja Ase Shrutekshitapato Nanunata Pungshong Yadyadiyata Urugaya Vibhavayantu Tadvapu Pranayase Sadanugrahaya. By the mercy of the Lord, if you meditate upon him in whatever form you desire, he will manifest to you in that form. Yadyadiyya, according to your intelligence, tad-tad-vapu, that body he will manifest. So if you worship Lord Ramachandra with sincerity, Lord Ramachandra will appear to you. If you worship Lord Krishna, he will appear. That is the benediction of the Lord, as you like. You approach him as you like, he will reciprocate. In the what's the key verse? Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma jinavitam anukulyena krishnana shilanam bhakti ruttama. Rupa Goswami describes what is uttama bhakti. And it is Krishna Anushilana, service to Krishna. The Acharyas describe what that means. It means Krishna and all his avatars. You can worship Lord Ram. That's still Uttama Bhakti, because Krishna means all the avatars. Siddhanta Tastva Bedi Shri Krishna, Siddhanta Tastva Bedi P. Shri Sha Krishna Sarupaya, Rasinot Krishna Te Krishna Rupam Esha Rasastitahi. He says, according to Tattva, Shri Sha, which means Shri Isha, means the Lord of Shri, which means Narayan, and Krishna, they're the same. Don't distinguish. But according to rasa, more rasa found in Krishna. Right? But according to Siddhanta, they're the same. So you worship Krishna, you're already worshipping Narayan, you're already worshipping Lord Ramachandra. Like that, you see. So I loved, in the build-up to Ram Navami, Leela Shakti Maharaj, she gave a wonderful class. And she was, because she grew up in India, she gave a nice pastime, which I thought was very interesting. She used to talk about how the village people, they would argue. And the devotees of Lord Ram, they would say, you know what, your Krishna had 16,000 wives, but our Ram, he only had one wife. He's better. And then the Krishna Bhaktas would say, but this one Sita, she had to live in a forest, whereas Krishna had a palace for all his 16,000 wives, so he's better. And they used to argue like this, you see. So we don't mind, you know, you can take your pick. It's a beautiful, broad, you know, conception of a risk on society. It's very accommodating to everyone, you see. So as I mentioned, this verse from the third canto, it's very important. And for two reasons. One is, yadyadiya means you as you like, you know, we have freedom. It's not that we're locked into one particular, it's not like our process. Sometimes people think, well, because we sing that particular mantra, that means we must be in that mood. One time, someone asked Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, you know, you must be, you know, in the mood of the gopis because you've given us this Tulsi prayers and they're in the mood of the gopis. And Prabhupada said, that's not the way it is. It's like, you can, you know, it's not that because you're saying, you know, Seva Adhikari Di Kora Nijadasi, was it, please make me a maid servant, you know, Dina Krishna Dasi Koye Yena Morahoi, Shira Dagovinda Premi Sarayena Basi. Because you because we're singing that, that doesn't mean we have to be in that mood. We can be in the mood of, I want to go to Ayodhya, but we're singing the mantra anyway because it's accommodating. It's not like you have to like sing exactly what you're thinking, you know. So it's like that. Anyway, as I was talking about Tulsi, there's a connection between Tulsi and Ayodhya. When Hanuman crossed over Lanka, he found a Tulsi plant. And it was a Ram Tulsi. There's two types of Tulsi. There's Ram Tulsi and Krishna Tulsi. So the Ram Tulsi, they have green leaves and white flowers when they blossom. The Krishna Tulsi is more purplish buds. That's how you tell the difference. And Prabhupada said, you worship him the same. There's no need to distinguish between the two. Same method of worship. So Hanuman, he came to Lanka and he found the Tulsi plant. And he wondered, who's worshipping Tulsi Maharani? So who was it? Anyone know? Vibhishana, yes. You're all very well versed in Ramayana. So remember when Vibhishana, he left, you know, before the fight. He left and he joined Lord Ram's camp, right? But as he was coming closer, some of the monkeys were thinking, he's from the enemy's camp. Maybe we should kill him. And what did Ramachandra say? There's a famous verse, Sakradeva Prapano Yas Tavasmi Iti Yash Jachati. Abhayam Savadatas Mai Didam Yatadvatam Mama. My vow is if one even once surrenders to me, saying, I am yours, then I grant that person fearlessness forever. This is Lord Ram's benediction, because he's very magnanimous, you see. So this is an interesting lesson that, you know, within a bad place you can find good people, and within a good place you can find bad people. You have Kaikeyi, right? Kaikeyi and Mantara. So they're influenced. Actually, you know, at the end of the Ramayana, Kaikeyi apologizes to Lord Ram, and Lord Ramachandra takes no offense whatsoever. But Mantara, she's like poisoned the mind of Kaikeyi. So you have Ayodhya, paradise, but then you have Mantara there. And then you have Lanka, full of demons, but then you have Srimati Tulsi Maharani, Vibhishana there, you see. So we should be careful. It's about who we are associating with. It's about our very close proximity. We can't think, well, I'm at Bhaktivedanta, therefore I'm a devotee. But we could have bad mind, you know. And someone out there may have nothing at all to do with Bhaktivedanta, but they may be very pure, you know. So we have to be very careful how we see things, you see. So these are some of the glories of Hanuman. Now, I mentioned how Hanuman's a very good speaker. So when he came to the Ashok Grove, so there's Sita, he's got to be very careful here, because Sita, she's already been disturbed by Ravana. Remember, Ravana took the form of a Brahmana and tricked Sita. So now Sita, she's very suspicious. So she's in Lanka and suddenly this monkey appears. What's she going to think? She's not going to trust the monkey. So he jumps in a tree and he starts speaking Ram Katha so beautifully that it touches Sita's heart and she becomes very attached to this monkey. And then he appears before Sita and he explains how he's a Ramaduta, messenger of Ram, and he shows the ring. He's got Ram's ring. Now it's interesting, this ring, there's a pastime that shortly after Sita and Ram got married, they had an argument and for 3 days they didn't speak to each other. And at one point, Sita's ring fell off her finger. And spontaneously, Lord Ram picked up the ring and gave it to Sita. And she shyly smiled at him. And it broke the mana. So Ramachandra was thinking, if this is the power of Sita's ring, what is the power of my ring? So he gives his ring to Hanuman. Because he knows, Hanuman takes this ring. And it's confirmation to Sita that Hanuman is genuine. He's not there to trick Sita, you see. Hanumanji ki jai. Let's talk about Shyamananda. We've still got quite a bit of time. I actually asked Devaprastha to sing a bit longer because I thought I'd rather hear his kirtan than my class, you know. I don't feel qualified. So anyway, I'll go on to quarter two because Saturday, that's usually the time. Okay, thank you for that. Then we'll have quarter two and then questions and answers. Thank you very much. So Shyamananda, so his father was known as Krishna Mandala and his name was Dukhi. So Dukhi, as a child, he had a devotional propensity and he took shelter of Hridai Chaitanya, Vaishnav. Hridai Chaitanya is a Vaishnav guru. And when he took initiation, because Dukhi's father was Krishna, he was given the name Krishnadas. So he became known as Dukhi Krishnadas. This is Shyamananda. He's known as Dukhi Krishnadas. Now, Hridai Chaitanya, he sent him to Vrindavan to serve and study scripture under Jiva Goswami. And his service to Jiva Goswami was to go to a kunj called Kanana Kunj and bring water every day. So he was very, his service was very pleasing to Jiva Goswami. He was very submissive, very good disciple, Shiksha disciple. The arrangement was that after he was trained up, he would return to Hridaya Chaitanya. So because Radha Krishna were so pleased with Dukhi Krishna's service, they wanted to reveal themselves to him. So what happened? One day, he's collecting the water from Kanana Kunj, and then he sees this shining light underneath the water pot, and he has a look, and he sees this bangle. It's actually an anklet, and he picks it out, and he's amazed by this. The next day, a very beautiful lady comes. It's actually Vishakha from the spiritual world. Because what happened was, this anklet belonged to Radharani, and she told her gopi friends, you know, when I was dancing with Krishna last night, I lost my anklet. So Vishakha decides to find this anklet. So she goes to the place where Radharani was, and she asks Dukhi Krishna, you know, did you see a bangle here? And he said yes, and he showed. And Radharani's there, she's hiding behind a tree. So she's very, very happy. So she comes and she gives Dukhi Krishna darshan. And she takes the bangle, puts some kumkum on it, and she marks the head of Dukhi Krishna. And she says, from now on, your name is Shyamananda. It gives pleasure to Shyam. So this is an amazing story. So what happened from then on, he was wearing this new type of tilak. And news got back to Hridaya Chaitanya, his guru. And his guru chastised Shyamananda. Shyamananda Prabhu, he's in ecstasy. So he just takes the chastisement as one should. But he's in bliss because he knows that he has not actually done anything wrong. That night in a dream, Srimati Radharani came to Hridaya Chaitanya and explained that I gave him this name and I gave him this tilak mark. So the next day, Hridaya Chaitanya is in ecstasy and he comes and embraces Dukhi Krishna, who's now called Shyamananda, and he's very, very happy because this is the nature of the Vaishnavas. They are very happy when someone else gets the mercy. This is the sign we're not envious. You know, in humility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says he is para dukhi sukhi. He's happy when other people are misery. Does anyone feel that sometimes? Maybe there's someone you don't like so much and then something bad happens and you feel happy. Anyone experience that? I experience it. This is called para dukha sukhi. Yes, someone else has got some problem. I feel better. But the Vaishnav is para dukha dukhi. He suffers when others suffer. Tapyanti lokatapena prayasajanavo sadavo janaha paramaradananta di purushasakilatmanaha. In the 8th canto it said, the highest form of worship is to save the fallen conditioned souls. That is the highest form of worship. And that is born out of compassion. Tapyanti lokatapena. Lokatapena means we're all suffering. Lokatapa means the suffering of all the living entities. And tapyanti means the person with a pure heart, he suffers because of that suffering. Their suffering makes our suffering, and then we then try our best to deliver other people. That is the mood that we should have. This is compassion. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to develop this compassion, but it is the sadavo sadabhushana, titikshava karunaka, mercy. It's one of the bhushana, one of the ornaments of the sadhu. Titikshava karunaka, suridam savadehinam, ajatasattrava shanta, sadavo sadabhushana. He's a friend to everyone, the sadhu. He's Ajata Shatrava, he has no enemies, and he's Shanta, very peaceful, but he's Titikshu, tolerant as well. He tolerates other suffering, like Haridas Thakur, tolerated so much. And there's a wonderful verse, and maybe if Sachimada is kind, she will explain it. Haridas Thakur verse, can you say it? The one where, if you cut my body, I will still chant Krishna's name. No. I don't remember it. I'm asking you because I don't remember. Please. Kanda Kanda Juri Joy or something. Anyway, she's been shy. There's a wonderful verse where Haridas Thakur says, you know, even if you cut my body to pieces, I'll still carry on chanting the holy names. You see? So that is Haridas Thakur is the emblem of compassion, and he's the wonderful preacher, Acharapa Charanamera, Karoho Duri Karya. He's known as the Acharya, because he practices and he preaches. Some people practice, but they don't preach. Some preach, but don't practice. So Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagatera Arya. You're the guru of everyone, Lord Chaitanya says, because your achar and your prachar are perfect. So that is the wonderful nature of the preachers and of Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada says, what is an acharya? Acharya is only, but it's one purport. Prabhupada says, the only business of the acharya is how to spread Krishna consciousness. So if you find someone and that's all they care about, and they don't care about anything else at all, you know, there's a symptom. Oh, there's one of the symptoms of an acharya. Very, very high status. How could you care about nothing but other people? Very, very, very wonderful. If you get the opportunity to meet such a person, oh, take shelter of them for sure. Good idea, Maharani Vrinda. You're nodding in approval. I like it. Thank you. I have this rasa with Maharani Vrinda. We went on the Polish tour for many years, you know. So we have this little thing. She's very talkative and I like to reciprocate. So, Hare Krishna. Sorry to embarrass you. I'm a bit rude. I wasn't rude to you, I hope, earlier on. Anyway, that's a little bit about Shyamananda. So let's talk about Vasant Rasa Yatra. So that's the springtime Rasa Yatra. And it's actually explained that in Bengal, they tend to celebrate, I forget which way around it is. In Vrindavan, they celebrate one more than the other. In Bengal, they celebrate the other one more. The Sharadiya and the Vasant. Anyone know the answer, which one's which? I read it before, and it slipped my memory now. I think it's in Bengal, they tend to celebrate the Sharadiya Rasa Yatra, but I may be mistaken. Anyway, we can research that out. So it's said in the 10th canto, Bhagavana Pitaratrich, Sharad Utpula Malaka, Viksharantu Manaschakri, Yoga Mayam Upashrutaha. That Lord Krishna, Bhagavan Api, although he's Bhagavan, although he's full of all opulences, although he's self-satisfied, although he needs nothing, still, Sharat Upula Malaka, when he smelt the jasmine flowers in the forest, then Viksha Rantum Manaschakri, he became inclined to enjoy conjugal rasa with the gopis. Therefore, Yoga Mayam Upashrataha, he took shelter of his internal potency. The Lord's internal potency creates all the pastimes of the Lord. And Yoga Maya, it means it wasn't an ordinary thing. It wasn't Mahamaya. Mahamaya, if we dance with lots of girls, well, it's Mahamaya. But when Krishna does it, it's Yoga Maya. So this verse is very significant. It's in the 10th canto in the Rasa Panchajaya. It's the first verse of the Rasa Dance chapter. It's the first verse. So it's very, very significant. It's got the Udipanas. Udipanas are stimulants for love. The jasmine flower, the moon, the Sharad Udpula Malaka means the Sharad season, the full moon. So that creates a mood. Udipana means let's create a mood, stimulate the rasa. And then Yoga Maya means it's all internal, it's all pure. Yatarbhaka Sva Prativimbra Viprama. The Lord's dancing with the gopis is like a boy dancing with a shadow. Yeah. Rame Ramesho Brajasundari Bi Yatarbhaka Sva Pratibimba Viprama. He's known as Ramesh. Ramesh means he's the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. So Ramesh, Rame Ramesho Brajasundari Bi, he enjoys with the Brajasundaris, which are the gopis, and like a boy plays with his shadow. So there's no harm. Your shadow belongs to you, so you can do what you like with your shadow, right? So in the same way, the gopis, they're like the shadow of Krishna, because Krishna's potency is like his shadow, you see? So the gopis completely belong to Krishna. But the mood may be different, Paraki or us, or someone else's husband. But in Tattva, they belong completely to Krishna. So that's the Sharad, Sharadupula. I'm not aware of a corresponding verse for Vasant, but the point is, in springtime, there is also the Rasa Yatra, Krishna dancing with the gopis. So this is also, it is like the pinnacle of rasa, this wonderful pastime, you see. And then there's Vangshivadana. I mentioned it's the appearance day of Vangshivadana. So as I mentioned before, he is the incarnation of Krishna's fruit. And he's connected to a famous place in Navadvip known Aparada Bhanjana. There's a place called Aparada Bhanjana. It means if you've committed an offence, if you go to this place, you can be relieved of your offence to a Vaishnav. So it's said that Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Hari Stani Aparadi Tare Harinam, Toma Stani Aparadi Nahi Paritram. If you offend Lord Krishna, Haristani Aparad, then if you chant the holy name, he will forgive you. But if you offend the Vaishnav, Krishna will never forgive you. Why? Sadhava ridayam mayam. Sadhanam ridayam taham. The sadhus are my heart, and I am their heart. Krishna has this compact of love with the sadhus. And actually, last time I gave class, or recently, there was some discussion about prasadam, and I mentioned there's a purport in the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada describes how offering of food is a sign of love. There's a compact, an intimate relationship between the devotee and Krishna. Therefore, it's natural. It's not like, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got to chant the mantras. Because you have a natural relationship with Krishna, then naturally, everything that you get, you offer it to your dear friend Krishna first, you see. It's just a natural thing to do. So there's this compact of love. And because of this compact of love, Krishna has a higher love for his devotee than he has for even himself. Therefore, we have to be very careful. Offense to the Vaishnav is even more dangerous, more detrimental than offense to Krishna. Which is why we should be very careful in how we deal with exalted devotees like Hanumanji. See, we may think, Hanuman, he is not Vishnu Tattva, therefore we don't worship Hanuman. But no, Lord Chaitanya set an example, we worship Hanuman. Prabhupada in his books, he said, you know, a lot of the time he'll talk about worship of the demigods is incorrect. Those whose desires are stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods. But he also says, if you worship the demigods in the mood of Brahma Samhita as devotees of Krishna, that is very good. You see, so we have to remember both sides are there. We have to get the balance. If you go one too much one way or too much the other way, that is a problem. So Hanuman, worship of Hanuman, is even higher than worship of Lord Ram. According to the principle, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasma Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva tells Parvati, the highest form of worship is worship of Lord Vishnu, and higher even than the worship of Lord Vishnu is worship of the devotees. Yeah. So it says in the Adi Purana, Yemi Bhakta Jana Parta Nami Bhaktas Te Janaha Mad Bhaktanam Chate Bhaktas Te Me Bhaktatama Mataha. Those who say they are my devotee are not my devotee. Those who say they are the devotee of my devotee, they are my real devotee. So we worship the devotees and we serve the devotees. And even if you have a doubt about the behavior of a devotee, if you serve them, you will find the jewel of bhakti in their heart and you'll appreciate them. That's a good way. If you have a ill feeling towards a devotee, serve them. Or do service with them in that situation, and you'll see them in their service attitude, and you'll see their devotion. It's very important. One time, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had a strategy when there was fighting amongst devotees in the Gaudiya Mutt. What was his policy? He'd take the two fighting devotees, and he'd say to the first one, say words of glorification about that person. And he would do. And then he'd say, you say words of glorification. And just by doing that, the mood changes. It's so powerful. The mood changes. And you do service. You know, if you don't have a nice feeling towards someone, do some service for them. You don't even need to tell them. You can do some service without them knowing, you know. But you can serve them in some way. And that's very good for our devotional service. It creates a nice, you know, nice mood that we love everyone. And that's a nice mood to be in. And that way our devotional service will progress. Because how will we advance if we have ill feeling towards other devotees? Because these devotees that we are feeling ill of, they are very dear to Krishna. So Krishna would say, you know, love me, love my dog, right? It's like Prabhupada would say, if you disrespect the spiritual master, then you're not going to please Krishna, because the spiritual master is like the dog of Krishna. So you want to please Krishna's dog. And Prabhupada said, I'm Krishna's dog. He said that. He said, you know, very rich man, you know, so hard to approach. But if you do some service for his dog, oh, he's very happy. Or for his son even, you do. He's very happy. Easy to approach. So that's the glory of the spiritual master. So that's worship of the spiritual master. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiya, innocent, the word tadiya means things in connection with Krishna. It includes Tulsi. Tulsi is known as tadiya. The devotees are tadiya. The spiritual master, he's obviously the best devotee. The Ganges water, that's tadiya. You know, Shastra. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's got a list of what's to do. I'm not sure, is that one of them? I'll take your word for it, but it sounds like it. Service to Shastra, service to devotees, service to Ganga, service to Tulsi Maharani, that's all. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. And that's the verses, I think it's from the Padma Purana. Prabhupada quotes it. You can translate this verse in two ways. You can translate Tadiya as all things in connection with Krishna. Another example is Mother Yashoda. She leaves Krishna to serve, to stop the milk from boiling, because the milk is Tadiya. Service to the milk is in connection with Krishna, is more pleasing to Krishna than service to Krishna. So Krishna's crying and getting upset, but in reality he's very happy that she's looking after Krishna's milk, you see. Therefore, the secret to advancement, service to the devotees. Haribo. Jai, Sri Hanumanji ki jai. Srila Vrinda Devi ki jai. Sri Samananda Prabhu ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi Haribo. So I've said what I wanted to say, and thank you for your patience, and I would like you all to add some extra bits to make the class even better, because it wasn't that good. Haribo. Oh, circle of ambulation.
Oh, sorry. No, it's a question about Vrinda Devi, yes. Service to Vrinda Devi. But it says, by circle ambulation, that all the sins you may have committed, even the sin of killing a Brahmana. Mm. Now, there's two ways we can kill a Brahmana. Yeah. It seems to me, anyway, and I really relate to this, because certainly I've offended devotees. In my service. And it says, killing a Brahmana means that actually you offend them. Actually.
Oh.
Yeah, in your terms, that that's an offense. It's like killing the Brahmana in you. You've just killed the Brahmana in you by offending a devotee.
Mm.
You know, you kill the devotee in you. And that occurs to me in that. And this mantra where it says even the sin of killing a Brahmana is a bit of a mystery to me, because it says in her worshipping mantra, she knows the highest truth.
Mm-hmm.
So can you relate to this circumambulation? And offences occurred to devotees in respect of worshipping Vrinda Devi, as well, to make some sort of recompense, even though they're not around or that sort of thing. Because, as you say, Krishna remembers, you know.
Yeah, it's a very deep topic, which I'm not qualified to actually speak on. But what I have been aware of, regarding offences to devotees, it's often said, you know, if a thorn goes in, it has to come out from the same place that it went in.
Yes.
So in the same way, if you offend a devotee, you have to go to that devotee for forgiveness.
Yes.
But then the question then arises, what if the devotee doesn't forgive you? And the answer is, you then sincerely take shelter of the holy name. Or what if that devotee has left the planet and you don't have the opportunity to go to that devotee?
Yes.
And still you must take shelter of the holy name, you know. So Tulsi Maharani, there's some deep thing going on here with, like, even killing a Brahmana by circumambulating Tulsi, there's some special benediction that she's given. And I don't know if what the detail is, because it's kind of beyond me to do that. But as long as our attitude is correct, there is no obstacle. Even if a devotee is not, sometimes what can happen is one may offend a devotee and the devotee doesn't forgive. And there may be some good reasons for that. So then you're in a real pickle, so to speak, because you want this devotee to forgive you, but devotee's not. But the point is, ultimately, if we're sincere, then nothing will defeat us. Therefore, there is that option that even if the devotee doesn't forgive, then you still take shelter of the holy name. And there's always that path of forgiveness. And then there's this place, Aparad Bhanjana, I mentioned. And there's also the circumambulation of Tulsi. So the service to you can serve the Vaishnavas in general. You know, that's how I would approach it.
Yes.
I may not be able to satisfy this particular Vaishnava that I've offended, and who knows how many I've offended, I don't know. Judging by my lack of taste for the holy name, I think I've probably done a few offences over the years, probably a lot, actually. But anyway, if we serve the Vaishnavas in general, we can clear that. And there's also that example, Sanatana Goswami, remember he's experiencing, he's thinking, I'm actually trying to which way around it is, someone correct me, there was a saint was sitting, and then it was either Rupa or Sanatana Goswami was meditating on a leela, and he started laughing, and the saint took that as an offence. He was laughing at the saint and he was offended. So I think it was Rupa Goswami, he lost his taste. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, it could be the other way around, he then went to Sanatana Goswami and said, oh, I've lost my taste. And Sanatana Goswami said, well, what to do is invite all the sadhus for prasadam, and whoever doesn't turn up, you'll know that was the one person you offended. And then he found out who it was, and he then went to that sadhu and offered obeisances and apologized. And the sadhu apologized as well and said, I didn't realize, I thought you were laughing at me, but now I realize you were laughing because you were seeing Krishna's pastime. So that the exchange between the two was mutual respect for each other. That way the whole thing was cleared. But it's a pastime that indicates the very importance, danger we should keep in mind when it comes to offending Vaishnavas. Even an elevated Goswami can lose his taste through accidentally offending a Vaishnava. But yeah, it's deep. Haribo. Prabhuji. Haribo.
Wonderful class. You mentioned about the connection between Bhima and Hanumanji.
Yes.
Is there a connection between Lord Shiva and Hanumanji?
Interesting question. Someone asked for that recently. Well, according to the authority of Google, there is. According to the Veda base, it's not there, okay? So I'm going to be cautious here and say it's not something within Prabhupada's teachings that I'm aware of, because I've researched that, and therefore I don't take it to be authoritative. But I haven't read all the Goswami literature, so there could be something there that I'm not aware of. So I'm not. There are, some people do say that Hanuman is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. As I say, I cannot say, but and if anyone knows, let me know. But I'm talking about the incarnation of Hanuman. Another one we didn't mention is Madhvacharya. So he's considered an incarnation of Vayu, Bhima, and Hanuman, because they're all the same personality. And if you actually study the life of Madhvacharya, he manifested traits of all three of those personalities. He famously ate, I think it was 4,000 bananas in one sitting, Madhvacharya. So he has some of the qualities of Bhima, big eater, Vrikodara, right? And one time, you know, the Udupi Krishna deity, it appeared by divine arrangement on a ship which was stranded and had this big huge lump of sandalwood as a ballast for the ship. So in order to rescue the ship, Madhvacharya took his cloth and created wind so strong that it freed the ship. And that's how the owner of the ship was very happy and gave him this massive lump sandalwood of clay and broke it open, and there's the Udupi Krishna deity. And also, as a child, Madhvacharya, whenever his mother would call him, he would jump huge distance and immediately be before his mother, like Hanuman. And when he went on pilgrimage, no one could keep up with Madhvacharya because he'd be jumping from mountain peak to mountain peak. So he had the qualities of all these personalities, you see. So they're all connected, Madhvacharya. I remember the pastime, he was so strong. There was one wrestler very proud, and Madhvacharya put his toe on the ground, big toe, and said, move that. And this strong wrestler couldn't budge it an inch. So there you go. Like Hanuman's tail, Bhima couldn't move it, right? Jai. Haribo. So it's almost time for prasadam, but is anyone else? Oh yes, Deva Prasadam. Haribo.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Anyway, so he was saying about if you offend a devotee, and then if they don't immediately forgive you, you should keep chanting Hare Krishna. Because sometimes if somebody offends you, it may be fresh and raw for some time, but then after a while, like the example you gave of the of Rupa Goswami, not offending somebody, but them realizing that the fact, the truth of the situation, just after some time,
just corrects itself. Yeah,
yeah.
Time heals.
So even the apology and that you give to a Vaishnava who you might have offended, they may not accept it straight away, but when their immediate pain subsides, then they will remember it and think, oh, I should have forgiven.
Thank you. Yes, sometimes time heals and people change themselves. Yeah, there's a time for everything, right? Haribol.
You know, I went to see a friend yesterday who I've known for 35 years. And, you know, he believes in all gods. He's a Hindu Punjabi. And he always has been the most biggest-hearted person I've ever met.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
He has diabetes.
Rama,
He's blind and potentially going to lose his leg. What I don't understand is why Bhagwan can do that to someone like him, and then there's others who sin all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they seem to have life. Doesn't come. They don't. They don't pray. Yeah. They don't go to the mandir. And yet, they seem, you know, happy and content. But you know, truly, they're not. I don't think they are. And you know, my dad has always been a santoshi, and he believes in santosh. You know, you have to be inside peace. And this chap's the same. Why is he suffering? The guy can't even walk.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked someone, a pious man like you, who is well-read for more than me, you have any thoughts?
It's probably the most common asked question, isn't it? I've heard this question many times before. And we have to be very careful that we answer it in the proper mood. Now, there was when you said he was going to lose his leg, it reminded me of a Swami in our movement, who's left the planet, back to Tirtha Swami. He lost his leg as well through cancer. And he transformed that whole experience into like an elevation of his consciousness that inspired devotees throughout the world. And he was, till the very end, he was like an example of someone experiencing very high consciousness inside a material body, which is ultimately not who we are. From the perspective of, you know, we are not this material body. So it may be the case that sometimes someone's too nice. He's too qualified to be in this world, and Krishna takes him back to the spiritual world. What's his destination, you know? If this person's worshipping Krishna, for example, if that's his destination. On the other hand, someone may be very sinful, and their reward is like they have a nice life, but actually they're just rotting in the material world, and they're not actually experiencing bliss because they don't know who God is. And therefore, their situation is far worse. And who knows what their karma is going to be in the future. So it's like, how do we judge? We have to judge. It's like you take a book and you judge it by one page, but you have to see the whole book. So what's this person's journey? Where was he before? Where is he going? And you see the whole journey, then it all makes sense. But we only see a snapshot, and therefore we can't figure out from one page the whole journey, you see. We don't see the past. We don't see the future. We don't see what the person did in the past. We don't see what their future is. And in that way, we have to understand that, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Nami Bhakta Panashati, my devotee never perishes. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that devotees don't get killed. It doesn't mean devotees don't die of cancer and things. It means their real devotion is always protected. And that's what we keep life after life until we go back to the spiritual world. So that's actually what it is. And in the meantime, whatever good qualities you see in that person, you can glorify them, serve that person, try and make them comfortable. And you're doing service to them, and to the extent that they have devotion for Bhagavan, you're doing a very important service to that person, isn't it? Right? So yeah, that's one way to look at it.
You know, my dad's favorite song was Monkira Nakinjuru. You ever heard that song? It means that life, you live
Mm.
You will always change.
Yes.
Or invest in different forms.
Yes. It's a journey. So Prabhupada said, just give this. So Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. That's all we should do. Thank you. I'll try my best as well. We should bless each other if we can. We're in it together. We're trying it. We're trying to do it together. And we're a community. Therefore, we go in Harinam, which is Maha Harinam, as I said, Jananda Goswami tonight. We're also going to Elin to advertise the Hare Krishna Festival, which is on Thursday. So there's a Harinam midday for that as well. Yes, there's a festival on Thursday in Elin. It's a Hare Krishna in the Elin Town Hall.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'll bring him there.
Yes, please do. That would be wonderful. If you bring him, please bring him to meet me or meet someone that you feel is qualified. I might not be the best person, but I definitely think it's a good idea. Someone will tell you. I can give you the address afterwards. Okay, Haribol. Grantaras Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi Haribol.